All right, Bucks fans, a rare treat here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. The sage of Tampa Bay sports himself, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the water damage whisperer, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, is here at the NFL owners meetings, schmoozing like a madman. It's been a hell of a run for Ira as we sit here early in the morning, Sage. Early, you've already had breakfast. You've already talked to Todd Bowles. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper not with us here at the swanky Breakers Resort here in Palm Beach. And we got plenty to talk about, but we're going to keep it tight. We got more to dissect with Lee when we come back later this week. And, of course, everything, all the fun, and we have a lot of fun on this episode, is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. April is a new month, but you can be confident that they've got great offers at Bill Curry Ford. Just get to the website. You can see the transparent pricing right there. Keep in the back of your mind that Sean Sullivan, the general manager, he holds the Ira Kaufman discount in his back pocket. So you can email him about that. You can call him or just go into the beautiful dealership. It's been completely redone. It's the giant, and it's the biggest and baddest service department in Florida. They've got mobile service. They'll come out to your home, and if they can't make the repair at your home, whatever it is, they will bring the car back to the shop, get you a loaner vehicle. It doesn't cost any extra. BillCurryFord.com. Check out their used selection. Fantastic. I've got two used vehicles from Bill Curry Ford. Both spectacular. One in its seventh year now, no problems. And the Sage, of course, has his cherry red Ford Escape that he got new. BillCurryFord.com. Curry's the family name. They're a third generation family dealership. BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, later we'll talk about our good buddies at Florida's Elite Restoration. But I got to mention Ira, Josh Martin, owner of Florida's Elite Restoration. You know what he told me the other day? He told me that he now buys his fleet vehicles for the team at Florida's Elite Restoration. 24/7 reliability is what they need, of course. He buys all his fleet vehicles from Bill Curry Ford. How about that?
That's unbelievable, Steve. That's what are we calling that? We're calling that reciprocal advertising. It's unbelievable.
No, it's just a marriage. You know, they're both great business people.
And then Sean's used Florida's Elite Restoration twice.
Twice,
Sean Sullivan.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you never want to use Florida's Elite Restoration. It means you had a disaster in your home, but hey, they're...
Did Josh get the Ira Kaufman discount from Sean Sullivan?
That's a good question. You'll have to ask him next time you see him with the produce in Publix.
Here we are in God's country, Steve. The sun's shining, $29 tuna fish sandwich. That's the Breakers in a nutshell.
So, we've got Todd Bowles to talk about. He sat down with the media. Jason Light talked to the media yesterday. Not more important, but interestingly, last night was the famous annual NFL party where the billionaires mingle with the slobs. And, of course, there's a lot of other people there as well. Hell of a party to get invited to, Ira, but I got to ask you.
Did you see me hit every food table imaginable, Steve? Everyone, including a glass of wine to start the whole thing off.
I went from
seafood to sushi to steak to dessert. I didn't miss a table.
And back again. So, Ira, look, what I did see last night that I have to ask right away, you've got a new friend.
Apparently. I made a new friend.
Two of them. So this is kind of stunning because, okay, Ira goes to talk to Sean Payton.
You challenged me to talk to Sean Payton.
I was like, hey, go to talk to Sean Payton. He's right there. Because he wasn't with his wife. He was just kind of looking at a buffet. I said, go talk to him, Ira. There's nobody around.
But then there were people around. So I waited till he went to the bar to get a glass of wine. Then I pounced.
So I'm like, ask him about Levante David. You're going to be presenting him probably one day. So get some perspective. Okay. So Ira goes to talk to him. And what happens? Okay, Ira's talking. I come back 20 minutes later. After talking to somebody, Ira's still talking to Sean Payton.
I would say it was a 45-minute discussion.
And then I come back again, and you're talking with him, and Deanna Russini's in there.
Yes.
Everybody's like a happy family.
That's right.
So what is this? This is arguably the most hated coach among Bucks fans, Sean Payton, and here you are. You guys are new best friends.
We covered the waterfront, Stevie.
45 minutes.
He's the head coach of the Broncos, and so he talked about how the Broncos are now going to dethrone the Chiefs, who have won like 9 straight division titles, something like that, atop the AFC West. He absolutely loves Bo Nix as quarterback. Well, it's not to love. And Buck fans will know this, Steve. The Broncos last year, I don't think this is an overstatement, basically the only team all season that made the Bucks look really bad. They smacked the Bucks right in the face at Raymond James. From start to finish, the Bucks had no chance to win that game. I think it was 26-7. They did whatever they wanted, and that's really the worst loss of the year in that respect for the Bucks. So anyway, he's talking about that. I asked him about Lavonte David. He goes, anybody that durable and that's been that consistently excellent, that's a strong candidate for the Hall of Fame. Yes, Buck fans, I did ask him about Simeon Rice, and I covered a lot of Buck Saints games over the years where Simeon Rice was a major factor in a lot of those games. And Peyton said, I don't think so. He's a little short. He's a little short. So for Buck fans who think Simeon Rice is a slam dunk, Ira, what are you doing? Get him in the finals. Well, that's not a universally held opinion, necessarily.
And one of the things to note with that, Ira, is that your fellow Hall of Fame selectors, they go up and ask coaches and say, hey, I'm thinking of these guys on the ballot.
Especially a coach in the division.
Right. I'm thinking of these guys in my semifinal ballot. What do you think of, Simeon Rice? And they may say no. And that sways opinion, and you got one there fresh. So it's just an idea. We're not knocking Simeon Rice. Doesn't mean he can't get to the finals and get in the room,
I
as
wish
you
he
call
would.
It.
I wish he would.
But, Ira, come on, 45 minutes. You guys talked a lot more than the Broncos and Simeon Rice.
Well, I'll tell you one thing we talked about that Buck fans would be very interested in. Sean Payton has finally gotten over. It's taken him 4 years. He's finally gotten over the playoff loss to the Bucks in New Orleans. He's been thinking about that Jared Cook fumble with the Saints up by 7, driving for at least a field goal in the second half that would have put him up 10. Maybe it's a touchdown drive. That was a third down catch by Cook, the tight end. Who knows? They might have scored a touchdown. Go up 14. And Sean Payton said, one hell of a play by the safety, which was Antoine Winfield. He said, I told him after the game, you just saved the Bucs season. And speaking of Antoine Winfield, we just got finished with Todd Bowles, and you heard me ask him, do you expect Winfield to go back to his 2023 form? Bowles didn't hesitate. It was kind of a lost season for Antoine Winfield last year. He got hurt, then he got hurt again. He said friendly fire.
Yep, the knee.
Did he run knee. Into his own player?
Well, somebody ran into him.
Yeah, somebody ran into him. Winfield's a huge factor in 2025. He saved the Bucks bacon a lot 2 years ago. Game-changing plays.
Oh, yeah. And
for Winfield.
And Bowles made a strong case that, hey, he's going to work his ass off. That's how he is. He's
him
like,
and Lavonte, same way.
He compared him to Lavonte David. Said, look, those guys grind, 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 and Winfield has a chip on his shoulder. He didn't say Lavonte David did, but he said, if anybody's going to get back, it's him. And, it made me think, take pause, how much they lost with Winfield last year.
Did you think it was interesting, Steve, how he said, talking about David coming back and when Bowles got the news, that Bowles was more confident this year that David was coming back? 2 years ago, he really thought David could retire.
Yeah, it was a great take.
I hadn't heard him say that.
Great take by Todd Bowles. And now let me set the stage a little bit. So he was asked about Lavonte David returning this year. When'd you find out? Or how'd you find out? How'd you feel about it? And he smiled. He had a big grin on his face for Todd Bowles. He said, you know what? In that exit interview with Lavonte David this year, I felt he was coming back.
He had a good positive feeling.
The post-2023 interview, exit interview, he said, he felt like, it seemed like a guy who was really close to a step from the door. So that's interesting for Bucks fans.
And they went even further, the year before they won a playoff game, and last year they did.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Bucks fans might think about it just the opposite, right? Just on the surface, you think, well, he came back last year. This year, it took a little longer to make the announcement. He was probably agonizing. No, the truth is, David got hurt in that last game and wanted a little extra time to make sure everything's 100%. The Bucks didn't make much fanfare, but he felt stronger about coming back, per Todd Bowles.
Now, Steve, Lee DeKemper's not here because otherwise he would fall off the chair from what I'm about to say. I asked Jason Light yesterday, Steve, about Servasio Dennis, and I asked Todd Bowles today about Servasio Dennis. I even mentioned, hey, Jason said, this guy's intriguing. We loved what we saw. Bowles is very bullish on Servasio Dennis, and he likes the new guy Walker too,
yeah.
Steve. But he thinks Dennis is a player. Is he wrong?
No, he's not wrong. He just has to be healthy. And look, any player does, and Bowles was very harsh about Jamel Dean's health, and he's played a hell of a lot more than Servasio Dennis. But he was very bullish on Walker. I even asked him.
Yeah,
to
you asked him if there was going to be a competition.
I asked him to expand on that, and he expanded a bit on Walker and stuff they've seen on film from him. And, you know, we know that Walker was Lavonne David approved. They're friends. Walker's made 83 starts. Everybody's saying Dennis is great. How could anybody believe, sitting here now, strange things happen in the NFL, but Ira, how could we believe, or the Bucs fans listening believe, that the Bucs are going to draft an inside linebacker when they're this high on Dennis and they went out and signed an experienced starting caliber inside guy?
Strong point, Steve.
Strong point. Why would they do that?
Maybe a fifth rounder.
But a lot of fans are thinking first round pick.
Yeah.
On our poll, that was the number one priority for Bucs fans, inside linebacker in the draft. I don't think it's happening. I really don't.
I'm hearing from outside sources that Jihad Campbell, who me and Lee have been rhapsodizing about 3 weeks.
Rhapsodizing.
Steve, his health issues may be a little more concerning than we knew about. And like you mentioned, it's not a desperation situation, and maybe not a desperation situation for edge rusher. Which leads me to say, Steve, cornerback, I wouldn't say desperate, but that could be priority one. Could be priority one, because beyond McCollum, I'm not sure Bowles has that much confidence in his corners.
Well,
he didn't like the depth. He said he didn't like the depth in the cornerback.
He kept saying multiple times, we need depth there, we need depth there. Understood. But you told listeners, Ira, of your wonderful podcast that everybody can find at Apple Podcasts, Podbean.
And of which we have 400 comments.
Podcast Addict, 400 reviews on Apple. Ira loves that. But Sage, you promised everybody that I would press Todd Bowles on Jamel Dean, that I was going to do that. Okay, so I did. And I said to him, I thought about how to phrase it. I said, look, a year ago, Jamel Dean is unquestioned number one cornerback. Doesn't seem like that's the case now. Things changed.
You mean once Davis departed, right?
Yeah. I forget exactly what I said now. But Bowles volunteered. I didn't ask him. He volunteered. Dean is 1B now behind Zion McCollum.
Well, he's clearly behind McCollum.
That was his phrasing. 1B. Not every coach would say that. A lot of coaches would say, we feel like we got two top guys out there. They're studs. No. He was very harsh on Dean as far as availability.
I think Dean's future is still very, very much open for question.
And he said he'd have to compete if they got somebody to compete with him. And, you know, I think it's obvious that they want, and you had some other discussions on the side, that they want a cornerback with the first or second pick in the draft to compete with Dean, to add depth, and go from there.
And, Steve, my first question, you were sitting right next to me, Hassan Reddick. I think it was my first question to Jason Light, and first question to Bowles. Bowles called it, quote, a lost season for Hassan Reddick.
Called it a wash.
A wash.
Well.
A wash. I think they loved the fact that he's highly motivated. They're banking on that.
Yeah.
They're banking on it.
I think they're looking at his skill set, looking at his film, which I don't think was very impressive, but they know the kind of player he is and was, and they feel the motivational push him over the top. Bowles calling it a wash. You know, come on, Todd. I think a lot of coaches, if it wasn't Hassan Reddick, if you just talked to Bowles on the side having a sandwich,
they say he screwed up.
They would never say any player's 10-game film is a wash. They might say, the first month, you know, we'll give him a break. But 10 games is what Reddick played. He wasn't hurt.
And you didn't like the film, Steve. You didn't like it at all.
I didn't. Only because he wasn't hurt. There was no overarching whatever. He had talent around him. We'll see. They should be bullish because he has that talent, and he's a huge upgrade.
I talked to a national radio guy, Steve, yesterday when I got here, who has no axe to grind, you know, either way, about Hassan Reddick. And the guy said he's a good pass rusher. What was left unsaid is he ain't too interested in stopping the run. He's not an all-around guy, but he does what he does. And I think Bowles is okay with that. He does what he does. He goes there, he hunts quarterbacks. And that's all Buck fans want. They're not looking for a guy that's going to, you know, take on the tight end, off tackle or something. Reddick's a one-trick pony, and he's very good at it.
Well, they will be looking for that, Ira, if, you know, when Bijan Robinson is hammering the ball.
And Diaby's pretty good against the run.
Diaby's very good against the run. I think Reddick's a great signing, but he's got question marks. I think that's the overarching theme. Jason Light addressed Reddick as well for the first time. They love his hunger, and they like what they heard. You asked Bowles, or somebody asked Bowles, about Reddick's time with the Jets. What did he have to say about it? And Bowles said, no, we didn't talk about it.
Were you impressed? Bowles gave a big, big recitation about the possibility of taking an offensive player in round one, how we had a heck of an offense, but you can always do better. And I don't know. When he finished his speech, I was unconvinced.
I asked him after that. I asked him,
"What's he going to take? A running back? I mean, what's he going to take?
What are your needs on offense?" He didn't name one.
He didn't name one. Now,
come on,
you've been pining for another receiver, and you know, okay.
Well, I'd love another because
Evans can't go on forever. Right. Now, my answer to you always is, how much is the guy going to play this fall? Whoever he is, to me, he's going to be the fourth receiver. Unless he beats out McMillan, I don't think he will.
If you draft,
and I think Godwin's coming back.
If you drafted Egbuka, who Lee's talked about, and as a number one draft pick, you better believe they expect him to be a lot better than McMillan. So there's that, but it's not going to happen, Ira. We know what's going to happen here. They're drafting a corner or an edge rusher, unless something really strange happens.
Were you comforted by Bowles' take on Godwin and when he's coming back?
Well, regarding that, I think it more important is, what is your new relationship with Diana Russini? What is this?
It's growing.
It extended to this morning.
Yeah. We exchanged nods and perhaps phone numbers. It's all in stages. It's all in stages. But she was great yesterday. She loved the conversation. She chimed in. We're talking about Parcells is very tight with Peyton. He lives right up the road in Jupiter. Parcells, so does Ron Wolf, the Hall of Fame executive. They're best buddies. Parcells and Wolf, they live a couple of blocks from each other. And Peyton talks to Parcells all the time. And he goes, you know where he is? Saratoga. I go, Saratoga? They don't start till the summer, Steve. Parcells loves
that. Yeah, the races,
he goes,
sure.
He goes up early. He goes up 2 months early. He's up there. So Russini knows Parcells. She chimed in about it. It was a hell of a conversation, Steve.
I just don't even...
You told me to ask a specific question, turned it to 45 minutes.
45 minutes. But you guys all look like old friends. Peyton's touching you.
He saw me again this morning.
Yeah.
Great conversation. Great conversation. I got to get his phone number.
Just very funny. Very funny. Peyton's wife looking at you like, what is with this guy? Crazy time. All right. Well, we got some more stories from Monday night. Of course,
we saw the Glazers at the party.
Saw the Glazers. We got our time to chat with the Glazers there together, independently. Good stuff. I don't know. I didn't see anybody else talking with the Glazers.
Hold on. I'm going to drop a big nugget into this podcast.
A big nugget? All right. But we didn't forget about Chris Godwin, because that's important.
Right. I know where Todd Bowles was during the party. He didn't show up. And I asked him today, where the heck were you? Because I challenged him to show up at the party.
You were in his face.
He went to Flagler Steakhouse. He had a blackened ribeye, and he finished every bite. So there's your nugget. Now, let's get back to Godwin for a minute. But what did he say about Godwin, and do you take any confidence in that?
Fun part is you challenged Todd to come to the party.
I did.
And he never goes to the party. You challenged him. He said he'd think about it. He seemed like he wanted to.
But his wife said, we're going to Steakhouse.
He admitted that. When it's not football time and he's not completely immersed in football, his wife runs the show outside of football, and he does whatever he wants with football. So she wanted to go to this place, and he's glad he went. So.
Before we get to Godwin.
But you challenged him, Ira.
I did. Steve, before we get to Godwin, what'd you make of Bowles saying he's into the weeds on the film of 2024? He's watching every freaking defensive play and letting the offensive guys worry about the offensive plays for the most part. And he said he came across some kind of would you call it an epiphany?
He called
something?
It a breakthrough.
A breakthrough. He never said what the hell the breakthrough was.
So today's April 1st, right? April
yes.
Fool's Day,
yes.
Ira. You're fired. No, I'm just kidding. So Bowles explained that sometime in February, he starts a process where he goes back and watches every snap and grades himself.
On his calls.
Did I call, make the right call? What were we showing? What he's looking for.
Did we not execute the good call?
He's looking for the cracks in his defense, not just from a play standpoint, but from a call standpoint. What did I miss? What was I thinking? Crazy.
Yeah.
So every single snap, and he said he does it every year, and then.
You're talking about over 1,000 snaps. That's what you're talking about.
And then he tries to build tweaks in the defense from that. Now, what he didn't say is what he said previously, that every few years he likes to change his defense because teams catch up and you got to make changes.
You self-scout, right, Steve?
Well, what Bowles has said is you got to make changes, even if maybe you don't need to. You know that it's coming. They've seen this 2 years in a row. I don't care if it works. We got to tweak. So this is a year in Bowles' cycle that he's said that he wants to make extra changes kind of thing.
Well, based on last year's defense, I wholeheartedly endorse that.
Exactly. So But Bowles said he went through this process, and only last week, he said, he had a breakthrough.
What does that mean, Stevie?
It means that he saw something that he thinks can make a difference, that they can change. And then he said, I'll go over it with the defense when they come back.
Like a common thread?
Sort of tendency, a breakthrough. But I think he said he was almost finished with the whole process. But, like, to watch 900 snaps and then finally come up with a breakthrough, like, you know, I see him with all kinds of notes. You know, I'm getting this vision. But I asked him this, Ira, because I thought it was important. I asked him this. I said, Todd, do you do that with the offense when you're done?
Yeah.
Do you sit down with – is that something you'll do with Josh Grizzard? He said no. He said that they'll do it, and he'll get a report, and he'll look at it.
Did you see him wince when I mentioned 7 interceptions? He almost fell off his chair,
yeah,
Steve. He didn't like me bringing that up. That's driving him crazy. It's absolutely driving him crazy. And maybe Reddick can be a big factor in changing that. Could.
Frankly, some better luck should as well, because there is that luck element. You got to look at the quarterbacks you're playing. But, you know, look, when we saw what Kirk Cousins did to the Bucs and didn't do it against anybody else.
He's disgusted by 2 losses to Atlanta. Disgusted.
I mean, you know, the way those went down and other teams just carving him up.
He talked up Tyke Smith a little bit, Steve.
He always does.
Yeah, always does. All right, get back to Godwin a little bit.
So Godwin, right?
You asked him the question.
I asked him, do you expect him on the field week 1?
That's a pointed, direct question.
He didn't say yes. He said, it's too early for me to say. I got to see him do more. And then I asked him, Bryce Hall had the same dislocated ankle. Is it fair to say that's the same injury? And are you learning anything from Hall's comeback? And he didn't say it's the same injury, although that's what's been reported.
But it was a lot earlier than Godwin's injury.
Yeah, six weeks earlier. Bryce Hall week 1, the Bucs' backup cornerback.
Godwin week 7.
Exactly. So Bowles responded to that by saying Bryce Hall has been sprinting full speed. And so if you do the math, let's hope that Godwin's running full speed by the end of May to match Hall's progress. Might put a sort of a line in the sand, Ira, for me. If we don't hear that Godwin's running full speed by June minicamp, which is the mandatory minicamp, mid-June, then something's a little off. So that's where it stands. Here we are, April 1, 5.5 months from the injury for Godwin, and the Bucs aren't committing to him for week 1.
Were you surprised, Steve, that somebody asked about Ben Bredesen? I thought Bowles was talking about John Hanna. Well, he loves the whole offensive line. What's not to love the way they played last year? Steve, when he finished his talk on Bredesen, it seemed like it was a big, big priority to get this guy back. They didn't want to lose him.
Huge priority. I mean, look, they worked really hard to build that offensive line. It's Jason Light's baby.
And you know what Light said about the O-line? He goes to sleep thinking about it all the time.
It's his baby.
It is his baby.
How could you not want Bredesen back when you had a successful everything last year? Passing game, run game. He gets along. He's young. Bowles made a comment, I believe, to the effect of, hey, now we don't have to deal with that in the draft.
Let me play devil's advocate for you, Steve.
Well, let me play devil's advocate with you first, Ira.
Okay.
So my question would be, if mold overcame your house and you saw it there for 3 weeks and didn't do anything, what did you do wrong?
Well, I didn't call Florida's Elite Restoration, which should have been the day one phone call before I called my insurance company.
That's right. You see the mold, you make the phone call. Florida's Elite Restoration. Get your free evaluation from experts.
It might not be a big deal. Let them come out.
It might be a big deal, but maybe not. But they're going to come out. They're not going to charge you. They'll use their technology and their experience, more important, family-owned business. They'll come out to your home and evaluate.
They'll show you step-by-step the extent of the problem.
If it needs to be repaired from a situation of you calling your insurance and being covered, they'll handle that process for you so you don't get ripped off, so you don't say the wrong thing, so you get your house restored. It's your most valuable asset and repaired. They're a one-stop shop if that's what you need. And, of course, fire, flood, any sort of water damage. You're the water damage whisperer. Storm damage is something we have to think about more closely now. And you call them right away. Josh Martin, he's the owner. You call them, you mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks fan. And if you need their services after your evaluation, which is free, then you're going to get $500 back.
I got another great Sean Payton story. You just reminded me.
All right, good.
You're right
away. Yeah, don't forget.
That's a classic, Steve. A classic. I go, what are you looking for as a third year with the Broncos? Yeah, third year. They made a huge jump last year.
Huge.
And you know, they beat up the Bucs week 3, and the Bucs were 2-0, right, I think, at that time.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like they were going
3-0. They beat them up from the first snap.
Sean Payton has Todd Bowles' number the way Todd Bowles has Nick Sirianni's number with the Eagles.
So I go, what are you looking for, like in the draft? He didn't hesitate. Running back. We need a running back, blah, blah, blah. So then I said, ah, probably Ashton Johnty's not going to fall to you. I think they're at 15 or something.
Sure.
I said, Dallas could take him, you know, at 12 or something. Well, anyway, when he said, I need a running back, I go, you could have drafted Bucky Irving. What the hell happened? You know what he said? I still can't believe what the hell happened. I'm out at the pro day. I'm looking at Bo Nix. All my eyes are on Bo Nix. Everything's about Bo Nix. I didn't even pay attention to Bucky Irving. And next thing I know, the Bucks grab him, and the guy's fabulous. He's still kicking himself about missing out on Irving.
Oh, that's a great story,
he's
Ira.
He's focused totally on Bo Nix. Totally.
So hyper-focused that he screwed himself.
Yeah.
Wow.
And by the way, here's my devil's advocate question. And I'm serious about this, Steve. Now, look, nobody's going to knock the way the Buck offensive line played. Pass protection, outstanding. The running game was quantum leap, which we've been looking for after two terrible years. Steve, could I make the argument, credibly, that this running game would have still been lousy if Bucky Irving didn't come along? Could I make that argument that most of it's about Bucky Irving? Are you buying that? Finding holes where there's no holes? Making guys miss?
Ira, it's a great question. It's a fair question.
It's a fair question.
And it's a question that has no answer. So we don't know what would have happened. Because the Bucks obviously wanted to draft a running back. Maybe they drafted a different one. Sean Tucker, everybody at One Buck thinks he's a starting caliber back.
To be fair, White ran more effectively than he did the previous years. So
he did.
So White improved. And the holes were better for White.
White was better. I don't think you can say that wholeheartedly, but the bottom line is Bucky Irving was a big part of that. And I don't think the line made – I mean, we all watched Bucky Irving. Special.
Special.
Special, unique runs.
30, 40 yarders.
Doing things that guys in the league you don't see every week watching football. So it's a combination, but it's a good problem or it's a good debate, and we're glad we can actually make it.
It kind of reminds me of Jamar Gibbs.
Very much like Jamar Gibbs.
Maybe a cut less, maybe, but that's high company.
Super high company, and you know what? I was talking to somebody who had a long sit-down with Liam Cohen, somebody I got to chat with at the party last night. But also, I talked to Cohen as well. You know, Cohen is quick to tell people that Bucky Irving, and I don't want to break the confidence here, Ira, but I'll say this. Cohen, incredible respect for Irving, not just as a player, but as a off-the-field guy.
Workaholic.
Workaholic, just as an overall football player. Highest regard.
He's a really good receiver. Also,
yeah.
As is White.
Yeah.
As
I mean,
is
his I mean, you think about what Irving did as a pass catcher last year. It's not talked about.
Never drops a ball.
He caught over 90%.
He's the guy that can turn a 5-yard flare pass into a 35-yard gain.
He's special. The line is good. The line should be better because they're so young. But, yeah, it's a good question, Ira.
I like the way Bowles answered the question about the new game management guy that they hired from Jacksonville. To me, Bowles never said anything like, oh, I think we were pretty strong in that area, but now we got even better. Bowles has offered no excuses about it, Steve. He's never said that it's a strong point of his, and I think he very much welcomes this new guy.
Yeah, I mean, look, it would be wonderful to really hear from Bowles, hey, where'd you screw up?
He's tired of hearing three voices in his headset.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Todd would ever really say, Todd, when did you know that you needed a lot of help? Because that's really the question. When did it hit you that, man, I'm not as good as this as I need to be.
Maybe the Glazers talked to him about it.
That was
possibly
what you speculated, that it came from the top. And that's a question I'm going to ask Joel Glazer later today about that. And, you know, we'll see. But
what about expectations on the Buck? As I said on the podcast, Bowles has no problem with high expectations. He's not going to shrink away from that.
No, and one thing he said is
killer instinct.
Killer instinct.
Killer instinct.
That was the phrase. We need better killer instinct. So, I mean, I asked him, well, how do you develop that? I mean, how do you do – you got a lot of veteran players. How do you do that? And Bowles, very candidly, and not a lot of coaches would say this, he said, I could talk to him all day about it. No one's going to listen to me. It's not going to matter. It's got to come from the players themselves. So it sounds to me, Ira, like that was a very easy answer to Bowles, to the point of the guys we want to draft, that has to be a component of their game. Absolute killer instinct, something Jamel Dean does not have, and it goes back to the Ball Hawks, but also that he wants to raise the game of his leaders to say, hey, it's got to come from you. You guys, you got to be on each other to be better. You know, Tristan Wirfs, you got to get
Baker Mayfield's right in the middle
as
of
good
that.
As that line was, we got to be deadly.
I talked to Raheem after his sit-down with the Atlanta media, and he's walking out, and I got him alone, asked him about Baker Mayfield, of who he is very familiar with from their time together.
In
L.A. He cannot say enough about Baker Mayfield. The dog he is. That's the word. He's a dog. There might not be a higher compliment in Raheem Morris's vocabulary. He's a dog. he loves the way he plays. Not only what he does, but the way he does it. Buff fans are very, very lucky to have Baker Mayfield.
So I've got one more nugget for you that I think is it's
good. Are you going to bring up Diana Rossini again, Steve? That's enough with that.
No. And poor Lee missed his favorites, Kay Adams and Gracie Hunt.
Gracie Hunt, that's
at
right.
It was quite a party this year.
It was in three different areas. It was really sprawling.
From a who's who standpoint. Yeah. Big names, a lot of talent, crazy party. Anyway.
Got a shout-out from the commissioner. Got the handshake from Goodell.
And I must say.
I told him I'm retiring in a couple of years. He goes, you can't do that.
And I must say, so as we record this podcast, I did have a choking fit because I was kind enough to give you my water.
Yes, you did.
Before the podcast.
You're unopened water.
So I was struggling here without water, so I put it on pause. I go steal a bottle of water from the NBC set over here, and I come back, and all of a sudden, Adam Schefter's in my seat talking to the sage.
It doesn't matter who it is, Steve. That tells you how long I've been around. Familiar face, been around.
Crazy. That was fun. All right. Ira, this is just a little historical nugget. All sort of came up out of the blue. And we will be back later this week.
With Lee.
Talk more about Todd Bowles. We'll talk more about Jason Light.
And we'll see what Joel Glazer has
to say. And Joel Glazer is going to address the media, too. I may actually get to talk to Bowles again today. I talked to him after the scrum here off to the side. And I'll save that for next podcast. So it's not going anywhere. But I watched a video. John Gruden did kind of an obscure interview with some coach, whatever. And he said on that podcast that when he arrived as head coach of the Buccaneers in 2002, Mike Tomlin, Rod Marinelli,
and Joe Barry,
they all wanted to leave. They didn't want to stay. They wanted to go with...
Their allegiance was with Dungy.
Yeah, they wanted to go to Indianapolis with Coach Dungy. And I had never heard that before.
And they had a year left on their contract.
1 year left on their contract. And, you know, no coach wants coaches that don't want to be there. Especially Gruden was coming in here thinking, I'm going to be here for 8 years at least. I'm a great coach. This is a great team. And these guys did not want to be here with
him. And it's a defense-driven team. I got to keep these guys.
So Gruden said he came in and talked to Monty Kiffin, who he had a relationship with. They used to watch film in the summer. Just studying football and, here on the Pinellas beaches. And he said, I realize I got to sell those guys on staying. I can't just tell them, you got 1 year left on your contract, you're screwed. And he said he spent a lot of time selling them, and it worked out.
Because then you would have had disgruntled coaches on
the staff. Yeah, you guys who want to leave, and nobody wants that. So, and he said, but in between hiring a total offensive staff, because he couldn't bring anybody from Oakland.
Except Bill Muir, who... Parcells hired.
And then he's selling the defensive guys. He got to stay. And he shows up and he meets his offensive coordinator. He meets his offensive line coach, Bill Muir, who introduces himself.
He's got a contract.
Gruden looks at him like, you're my offensive line coach? He says, yeah, Bill Parcells hired me, who didn't take the Bucs head coaching job. And I got a 3-year contract. So I'm your line coach.
And then Gruden goes, Gruden says, you want to be the offensive coordinator?
Want to be the offensive coordinator? I'm calling the plays.
I'm calling the plays. Yeah.
So, that's how it all went down. But your perspective on that, how difficult it must have been.
So Steve, this is the way it works in our business. You tell me that story at 7:30 in the morning before Todd Bowles sat down. I had never heard that story about the defensive coaches wanting to join Dungy and Indy. And then I see Raheem Morris off to the side when I asked him about Baker Mayfield. And I ran your story. Of course, I don't mention your name because I'm not giving you a scoop. And Raheem goes, absolutely right. It's absolutely true. But they wanted to keep him. So they, probably the Glazers were a factor at that point. Also, don't let these guys go.
To a degree, sure.
And then Raheem said, but the quality control guy, and I forgot who the guy is, he left. And that's how Raheem got a start in the National Football
League. He created an opening, and they Raheem Morris, a nobody, was hired as
And now he's a coach against the Buccaneers, who beat the Bucs twice last year. By the way, I said to Raheem, how do you go from 3 games up on the Bucs to finishing 2 games
behind?
Did you really say that? I did. Who else is going to say that to Raheem Morris? He goes, we fell apart, Ira. We fell apart. And a lot of it had to do with that stupid Cousins, and was he injured, and Cousins trying to say, I shouldn't have played. Well, if you shouldn't have played, why don't you tell the guys how injured you are? It was a mess. It was a mess.
Look, that team is a mess. And
they're going with Penix this year. We'll see how he does.
Sage, we'll reflect more. I'm sure some more memories will come back to you for the next podcast.
I think I'll call Sean Payton later today. See what's on his mind.